Hey everybody, this is Chrissy.
And Joe.
And we are here to help you build a stronger marriage, to create stronger families, to form stronger communities.
That's right. Welcome to The Married Life.
And if you want to visit us on our website, you can go to themarriedlife.org. And you can check out our free resources. We've got coaching that's free. We just ask for donations. So if you can't afford it, you're really just paying for somebody else.
Yep.
We've got blogs up.
Yep.
When is your pick a fight coming out?
I feel May. Like
we're talking about it.
Oh, beginning
okay.
of May.
Okay. So the beginning of May, you're going to be able to get those free resources. Men.
Yep.
I mean, women can like listen to it.
I and wouldn't.
Then, like,
that's why I made this different.
Well, you know, you can share it with your spouse.
Maybe. So I've already recorded 15. The whole thing is I'm batch recording them because then they're going to come out
every day.
Days a week.
Yeah.
And so what I could start doing is putting a disclaimer at the beginning, like, women, this is not one to listen to because I'm talking about, you know, fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But all those resources are free on our website. So go check them out. I got a blog. Comes out every Tuesday.
Yep.
I know. Depending on my children. So
it's just that season.
It's that season.
You know what? And we give ourselves grace.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listeners do too.
Mm.
But we are in the series Song of Solomon right now, which I'm super excited about. It's been going good. And so we're going to continue on it.
Yeah.
Last week we talked about sex. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, it was. And then this week we are going to be talking about the vow. Now,
which, thinking about it, shouldn't we have talked about the vow first and then sex?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Yeah, because I mean, even in this chapter, we're a little out of order, but oh well.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But so when we're talking about a vow, we're really talking about like the covenant that we make in marriage,
right? Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to start this off like the difference and really helping everyone understand the difference between a covenant and a contract.
Yep.
And so we're going to start off in Song of Solomon, Chapter 3, verse 6.
Oh, wow.
It says, "What is that coming up from the wilderness, the columns of smoke?" And this is actually her talking. This is like he's getting ready to enter like the wedding,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they are about to get married. And she's like, "What is that?" And I just think that's so cool because in the Old Testament, the column of smoke, like there's a pillar of fire that represents God's provision, God providing for the Hebrews, you know, as they're going through
leading the
wilderness. Exactly. Leading them. And that's what she's even saying here. You know, she's seen her husband she's about to marry to be that leader in my life, that figure that I can look to that's going to help me spiritually. And that husband's is something that all of us are called to do.
Yeah.
We are all called to be that quote unquote column of smoke for our wives.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you husbands, let's just be honest, you are smoking hot. Great job, you know. You got that part down. You're hitting the gym. You're hitting the weights, you know. But spiritually, are you on fire?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to get. We have to get spiritually on fire because the more I'm on fire, the more you're on fire.
Yeah.
The more you're on fire, the more I'm on fire. The more we're on fire, the more our children are on fire.
Yeah.
Like it starts with us.
And I want to say this to the husbands because I hear a lot of women like, I want my husband to lead. I want my husband to lead. And I know that that can be intimidating, especially if your wife is very spiritual or she's been saved longer than you or whatever. I'm going to say this. Do not, one, try to lead like your wife. Like, she's probably into, like, these, you know, worship songs, and maybe she dances around, and maybe...
Yeah, she's got a flag ministry in your living room.
Oh, gosh.
Don't try to do that.
Or just the way she reads the Bible, the way she talks, if she's crying. Like, women are just created differently. That's not what we expect of you. And women, if you do, knock it off. That is not your job. I don't expect you to have an intimate relationship with the Lord like I do. And so if you want your husband to lead, we'll talk about it a little bit later on how to do that. But don't force your spirituality on them the way that you do. Like, your relationship with the Lord is different than your spouse's, and he's going to lead differently because God made him different.
That's right.
And so just be encouraged, men. Lead like you lead anything else. Don't try to like fluff it up because God doesn't want that from you anyways. Lead like a man.
Yeah.
Don't lead like a woman.
Yep.
It looks different.
Yeah. Totally does.
So, all right. That's my disclaimer.
Going on, it says, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powder of a merchant. So this is, again, Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. And even hearing about, you know, myrrh and frankincense, your mind already automatically kind of goes to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, like knowing that the wise men who brought him gifts, and to know that, again, Jesus is the King of Kings, and she's recognizing Solomon, who actually is king, but also as the king of this household, you know? And it's like wives, I'm telling you, there was a time that you probably saw your husband as a king. You saw him as a prince. Mm-hmm. You saw him as royalty. And a lot of times, like, that begins to fade, but we have to bring that back into marriage, because one of the things that attracted us to that person was that. And yeah. So it's like, we want to bring that back in and honor them, mm-hmm. like royalty.
Yeah.
You know?
And I say it all the time. I've talked about it before. I think we've done a full podcast on it, but like, I feel like we lose our manners in marriage. You have to get back to that place, like you said, honoring. And if you find yourself talking to strangers or even your boss, people in your workplace, if you find yourself speaking to them with more honor and respect than you do your own spouse, you need to check yourself.
Yep.
Your spouse should be the number one person that you respect and honor the most.
Yeah.
I didn't say they deserved it all the time, but that's the person that you should be respecting and honoring the most. And we have to get back to that place.
That's so good. So he goes on to say, or she goes on to say, behold, it is the litter of Solomon. Around him are 60 mighty men. This dude comes with an entourage. Some of the mighty men of Israel, all of them wearing swords and experts in war. Could you imagine having a wedding and 60 dudes come up behind me, like my, like, what are they called?
Entourage?
No, like, not your, not, you have bridesmaid.
Oh, your,
what are they called?
Oh my gosh, groomsmen.
Thank you. I don't know. Your groomsmen. 60 yeah. groomsmen. And they all, like, got some, like,
deep.
Yeah. And they all have, like, Glocks, like, out of their pockets that everybody can see and stuff. You know, just, like, looking like, what's up? Start something. That's how he rolls up now.
Yeah.
What I think is so important about this is, who is fighting for your marriage, right? Because here you have a crew of dudes who are like, we've got Solomon's back.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, anytime that we do premarital counseling, and then when I marry somebody, I always talk to the congregation, like the people that are there, right? Mm-hmm. The people on the groom side and the bride side, like, hey, you're here to be for them. You know, yeah. You're not just here for the cake. You're not just here for the food. You're not here because
sometimes
you're not just here, you know, to buy them a gift and wish them good luck. Like, you're saying, I got your back.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to support you.
100%. And that's what we need in marriage. And I'm just telling you, like, ladies, if you have women in your life that don't have your back when it comes to your husband, you have to kick them out of your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, same thing for the men. Like, you shouldn't have, if you have friends that are talking bad about their wives, I'm telling you, dude, sooner or later, you'll begin to talk bad about your wife.
Yeah.
Birds of a feather flock together. And someone, you just need to cut off that chicken's head. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my.
Get them out of there.
Yeah.
You need to have people that are going to support you and fight with you, mm-hmm. and fight for you.
Yeah.
I remember before, we've had friends come over to our house, like, when it's been hard, and a couple that's, like, on the struggle bus, and, you know, we're like, you need to go back to your home.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, you can't sleep on the couch.
No.
You need to go back to your home, because we're fighting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we would coddle them and, you know, like, oh, it's okay, you're right, he does need to do that better, you
yeah.
know, like, you know, he does need to do, you know, it's like, well, of course there's things that he needs to work on, she needs to work on, but mm-hmm. you encourage them to work on it together.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody that's in your corner fighting for you,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you don't need them in your life.
Bye Felicia.
So when we even look at this on the wedding day, who shows up? We know that two become one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, even on our wedding day, two become one.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we focus that God is now part of that, because we are building our relationship off of that. But when you look in Genesis, what happens? The first wedding, right? Adam and Eve get married. God is there.
Mm-hmm.
What happens as soon as they get married? Not before they get married, after they get married. Who comes in?
Right.
The enemy comes
yeah.
in. So even in our marriage, we have to be prepared. The enemy's going to be fighting in your marriage,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so again, if you don't have people who have your back in that, anyways, I was going to go on a rabbit trail.
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
But it's offense and defense. Oh, I feel like it's my first football analogy.
Get it, girl.
Go me. But it's offense and defense. Offense. dates, mm-hmm. love languages, all that kind of stuff. We've talked about it a million times on this podcast, but also defense. Mm-hmm. You have to be on the lookout for those little foxes yep. that ruin the vineyards and talk up. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we'll talk about that kind of stuff later. But you have to be on defense yep. as well.
Yep.
Oh.
Where it's pink, that's where you're supposed to talk.
Oh, that's me. So I don't know if all my married couples out there, but if you had to pay for your wedding or if maybe your parents paid for it, it was a huge chunk of change. In Indiana, it's an average of $22,000. That's wild.
That is crazy.
You know? And so we put a lot of effort into the wedding day, the one day. It's not even 24 hours.
No.
You know, it's 12 hours, start to finish, getting your hair done till the end of the party.
Yeah, it took me 12 hours to get my hair ready.
You know what I mean. But we're all, like, preparing for this marriage, right? Or this wedding,
yep.
but we don't prepare for the marriage. We might do a couple of weeks of premarital counseling and all that kind of stuff, but you really need to put the work in,
yep.
you know? And so the wedding has no impact on the marriage. It's like the wrapping of a present.
Mm.
Nobody cares about it, mm. right? Afterwards,
yep.
you stare at it before. It's like your main focus. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so pretty. I want to unwrap it. I'm like the worst gift giver. Not like gift giver, but like I want to give it to you right away. But, you know, you're just staring at it and it's beautiful and you can't wait to open it. And then it's like you open it and how long do you play with it? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How long do you keep that thing? Like Vivi just had a birthday yesterday. I feel like we've been celebrating for a couple of days. Yeah. She just had a birthday the other day and she's going to be over her gifts in a really long time. Your wedding is going to be like, oh, you know, maybe a couple years, you're going to look at pictures. But after that, that's it. And now it's about the wedding.
You mean marriage?
Marriage. I can't think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what you're here for.
Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes to even our marriage and like as men, we have to decide how we're going to lead that. And again, what Chrissy said, ladies, some of you, you want your husband to lead, but you're not letting him lead.
Yeah.
Like you're not. And when you said your vows, when you covenanted into marriage, instead of just writing a contract, you were saying for better or for worse, that includes his leadership.
Yeah.
That includes him leading spiritually. He might be weaker than you. He might be worse than you. He might not know how to read the Bible, or he pulls out the King James and he's trying to read out loud to you thous and arts. And you're like, what is this dude saying? I'm reading the Passion Translation or the Message, you know, and he's, you know, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you have to give him permission to lead. And men, some of your wives are waiting for you to lead. Some of your wives are waiting for you to send them this podcast versus your wife asking if you've listened yet.
Yeah.
Some of you men, your wives are waiting for you to get the book, to sign up for the conference, to share a YouTube video with them, to mm-hmm. fill in the blank.
Take you out on a date, initiate it.
100%. But sometimes we just get so lazy as men and we kill it at work, right? Like you go to work and you kill it. You're getting the promotion, you're, you know, slaying it, and just everybody recognizes you. And you come home, it's like you forget how to lead. And Chrissy's called me out on that before. She's like, why is it that at work no one has to tell you anything? I get home, I'm like, I have to tell you to pick up the socks. Like, just take initiative.
Even so, Rackney's telling you to pick up your socks.
No, he gets them out of my drawer. Maybe he's telling me to shut my drawer. So here's a freebie from the podcast I'm going to be doing, the Pick a Fight podcast. One of them's on leadership.
Wait, isn't your podcast free anyway?
I just winked at Chrissy in case you guys are like, what was that noise? When I wink, it makes noises. So here's LEAD. Here's an acronym, men, for LEAD. Okay. You need to listen. You need to listen to your spouse. You need to listen to your wife. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. You need to listen to what God is speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to encourage. How are you encouraging your wife? How are you encouraging yourself?
Yeah.
Like, encourage yourself, men. You need to, you need to apologize. You need to be able to say, I'm sorry for not leading when mm-hmm. I should have been. I'm sorry for not sticking up for you or for whatever it is. You need to learn how to apologize.
And I want to say this. An apology is very attractive to a woman.
I'm sorry.
For what?
For not apologizing enough.
Don't feel like we think you're weak when you do it.
Yeah.
It's very attractive.
Yeah.
And women, don't say I told you so when they apologize.
Ooh.
Knock it off.
Yeah. And D for lead is die. You need to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You need to die to your desires, because this is where, and again, getting into covenant versus contract, this is where divorce happens, is that we don't learn how to die to ourselves. And so we kill the marriage.
Yeah.
We don't know how to die to ourselves. Because again, the vows are in sickness and in health till death do us part, you know, for richer or poorer. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, my wife's put on a little bit of weight. She's not holding up her end of the bargain. She's not doing what she signed up she's going to do. She's just, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
And so we just start looking around and cutting them off.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to die to your fleshly desires. You need to die to yourself.
That's really good.
A contract is, if you, then I.
Right.
Right. That's what a contract says. Mm-hmm. If you do this, if you stay in shape, then I'll have sex with you. Right. If you take care of the kids, then I'll bring home the money. If you, you know, fill in the blanks.
Right.
If you, then I.
Mm-hmm.
A covenant says, no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why at the end of our wedding ceremonies, we say, I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's really good. And if your marriage is a contract, there's a lot to lose. Do you know what you lose? Love, intimacy, vulnerability, transparency, because you're seeing it as a contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's contractual. It's, you know, when you do this, then I'll become vulnerable. But that's not going to happen.
Nope.
When does that ever happen? Right. Has that ever worked for anybody?
Yep.
No. Somebody needs to pick up, you know, their humility.
Yep.
And start first, because contracts will not make it in the long haul for your marriage.
Right. I mean, we're seeing that right now. So if you turn on ESPN, you're seeing all these NFL quarterbacks now that who are under contract for a number of years. And they're like, eh, my team sucks. Trade me, or I'm sitting. And that's what we tend to do in marriage now. Mm. Oh, my relationship sucks, so I'm going to sit this one out, or trade me.
Right.
Like, that's a contract,
mm-hmm.
not a covenant. That's why Deshaun Watson can sit there and say that, but you and I can't, because this is a covenant. This is between me, you, and God.
Watson.
You got to listen to the Pick a Fight podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, podcast listeners. Have you replaced a contract for where there should be a covenant?
Mm.
You really need to ask yourself that.
Mm-hmm.
Your everyday interactions with your spouse, is it a contract or is it a covenant? Are we loving only if you feel loved? Are you only contributing if, you know, you feel like your spouse is contributing? Do we serve when we are served? Or if you do this, I'll do that. What are your motives in your marriage? Is it a covenant or is it a contract?
Yep. Excuse me. It's so important for us to reflect and think on that. And this morning, we'll finish with this. When I was at the gym, I had a vision today at the gym of just writing down what you have mentally written down in your head as a contract. Again, the if she does, then I will.
Yeah.
If he does, then I will. Like, writing that down, like, actually take time, podcast listener, write that down and confess it to your spouse. Just like what we talked about earlier, how far an apology will go.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to say, I'm sorry that I have made this part of our marriage a contract.
Yeah.
You know, that if I, you know, then you. What I want you to do is to rip it up. To throw in the fire, to crumple it up, whatever, and show your spouse, like, this is what I have been living by, and I no longer want that.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a contract. And what I want you to do is to let them know, I want it to be a covenant.
Mm.
Take their hand. And men, you can take time. Women, you can take time, write, work on this together and what this looks like. But writing out that I choose to love you no matter what, that I promise to forgive you, that I will pray for you, and that I promise to work through issues. Because so many times we don't even work through issues. Again, we just cover things up.
Yeah.
Like, a covenant is like, no matter what, I'm going to work on this with you. I'll never use the word divorce. A lot of people need that.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked with too many guys that they're throwing this word around like it's oxygen.
Right.
I'm like, bro.
Don't even talk about it.
Oh.
It's not even, because once you plant that seed that it's an option, you're going to treat your spouse different.
Yep.
It's just going to be different. It is not an option for us. No. I've never said it. I've never threatened it. I've never even thought about saying it or thought about threatening it. Because once you plant it, it is very difficult to uproot that mug.
Yep.
It's a weed. It's not a delicate garden that I tried to grow and can't. It's a weed.
Yep.
And you don't have to do anything to feed it or water it, but it's going to grow.
And like you said, it goes deep.
It does go deep.
It goes deep. And let them know I'm dedicated to you.
Yeah.
Like that's what it comes down to. Again, a contract says if I, then you. But a covenant, no matter what, I do. Thanks again, guys, for joining us this week on the Married Life Podcast. We exist to help build stronger marriages, to create stronger families, to form stronger communities. And you can visit us at themarriedlife.org for more free resources and to support the ministry. We'll talk to you guys next time.